experience for me trying to do this from inside here. And so you guys can see me. There I am over there. And I guess we need to get some paint in here. It might look a little better. So I'm a tad nervous. So it's first time for me to do it in front of a live audience. So bear with me, please. And so we're going to, I've really been excited about, you know, some of you follow me during the week. I've been doing this morning Bible study each day in Ezekiel. And when I was first thinking about continuing what Pastor Storm has started over a year ago now, during the shutdown and everything, we started these devotionals, and he kind of passed on the baton to me. I've kind of taken off with it. So when I was contemplating what to go to next, Ezekiel and Daniel came to my mind. I'm kind of a prophecy buff, and I really enjoy prophecy. So I like the books having to do with prophecy. And I've been running Ezekiel now for about 62 days. So I've been into it quite a while. But I'm excited about starting Daniel, and so that maybe the Lord had this in mind for me to teach Sunday school, because like I said, he told me at the same time that I felt like he was leading me to Ezekiel and Daniel. I said, well, which one, Lord? And and then Pastor Sakaros kind of came up with this idea. So so to start off, Daniel, let me, still working out how to best display this stuff up on the screens. You see, I'm going to split between screens. If that's not something that works out good, we can try something different. But I'm going to try to use keep myself on one screen and then put other things up on the other screen. And I thought I'd start out with a little brief history lesson on Ezekiel. So let me see how I can do this for you guys. I have to do it this way. I have to get rid of my picture for a minute. Okay, so Daniel, he was a prophet, as we will see here in a couple of verses. Even Jesus himself called him a prophet. And that he lived around 605 B.C. He was a teenager in that time frame. And Daniel actually means, you know, in Hebrew, all the words, all the names in Hebrew are really have meaning behind them. And Daniel stands for God is my judge. And Daniel was taken into captivity as a teenager about 605 B.C., during the first captivity. There was three total captivities during the Babylonian exile. Just a little bit of a timeline here of David. It was about 1000 B.C. I'll give you an idea about where we're at. And so, and then the decree of Cyrus, which is pretty much the end of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, and the Cyrus took over about 538 B.C. And Daniel was in Babylon that entire time. He pretty much spent his entire life in Babylon. And some reports put him writing Daniel about 530 B.C., give you an idea. We don't know exactly when he died, at least I don't, when he died, but it was the last report we had was about 530 B.C. So he was well up in age. And he went through like three different kings of Babylon. Let's see. So there's a little bit of a kind of like a breakdown of the book of Daniel. And I found this interesting that Daniel was actually written in two different languages during the original transcripts. And this beginning part, it's kind of interesting that when they're talking about anything having to do with the Jewish nation, it's in Hebrew. And when it gets in more into the Gentile region of things, it becomes Aramaic. And so about the middle of chapter 2 through about, you can see there where it says Aramaic, till the middle of chapter 7, is in Aramaic, and that's mostly covering a Gentile-type visions that are of a future time frame. So this first chapter we're starting in has to do with mostly the personal life of Daniel, and that's where we're at right now. And we'll kind of refer to this as we go along. I think that's all I want to show you right this minute. So again, I mentioned that Daniel's the author, and this is confirmed here in Daniel 12:4. It says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. And many shall run to and fro, and an increase shall be knowledge." So this is where God is actually speaking to Daniel, and it kind of confirms that Daniel's the one that wrote this book. As you can see, seal up the book. Also over in Daniel 9:27, this particular verse here, we get to it when we get to it. It's about the 70 weeks. I just wanted to point to it because Jesus actually comments about this verse over in Matthew 24:15. "But ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet." We get two pieces of information here. Jesus is confirming that Daniel existed and that he was a prophet. "Standing in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand." So there's our confirmation that Daniel was in true a person. It's also mentioned over in Mark 13:14, basically the same thing. I like to, when I teach, kind of show verses that confirm a verse. I see the Bible as a Bible proves the Bible, basically. So that anywhere and under one of the rules, I think it's in Corinthians, I can't remember for sure, where it states that under two or three witnesses makes a fact known to be true. And that so I kind of use that philosophy when I teach, to try to point to verses that confirm a fact in multiple places in the Bible. So it's kind of like my way of doing things. Let's see. Some other things about Daniel. He was one of the few Bible characters that nothing negative was ever said about him. At least we can't find anything. I'm sure he was a sinner just like the rest of us, but he was... We'll need two pictures of me. So let's... I'll go back to the full screen on... I think I'll just leave it this way. So trying to figure out how the best way to electronically do this over here. So I'm also live streaming at the same time. And... So one of the few characters that never said anything negative said about him, and as a matter of fact, it's pointed to a few times that he was considered to be greatly beloved, and God himself actually said that. In a few places it says that is over in Daniel 9:23. Oh, I was just reading the whole area. Never mind. "Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in a vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I came to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved." That's the point I wanted to make there. This angel had told Daniel that God felt that he was greatly, greatly beloved. "Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision." A couple other places that we see this is over in chapter 10, verse 11. "And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken the word unto me, I stood trembling." So it's, again, it says greatly beloved. Also over in verse 19 of chapter 10, "and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee, be strong, ye be strong. And when ye have spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let me, Lord, speak, for thou hast strengthened me." And again, it says, greatly beloved. So he's one of two people that actually that is commented about. And the other person is John, who we will maybe in a different study, we'll see where John was also the other one. And it's kind of interesting that both Daniel and John were both wrote the most, probably the most prophetic prophecy books, being Daniel and Revelation. And we'll be going back and forth a little bit between Revelation and Daniel quite a bit, actually. So, a little bit about the history of this time frame. And I will bring one more chart back here for a minute. It's a neat little chart. It was in my Bible, and I kind of highlighted the names a little bit better. Maybe you can see them, maybe you can't. But if you look at this chart, it's kind of divided in three levels. At top, you see righteousness, in the middle, you see sin, and the bottom level being idolatry. And these are all the kings of Judea from Saul all the way to the captivity as a timeline, kind of. And so when the mountaintop goes up into righteousness, those were good kings. And some of them kind of fell a little bit and went back up. And that's kind of what the arrows show, as when they fell to sin or they fell into idolatry. But what we're concentrating on right now is over in, and we're going to see here in the first verse, is that about the time that this happened, Jeroboam was the leader of Judea, and he was one of the sons of Josiah, the last. So we're down near the bottom right corner here. And you kind of see where see Josiah in blue, right near the R in righteousness. As his three sons took over, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Jehoiachin were his three sons. And things kind of went downhill from there until we got to the appointed king by Nebuchadnezzar of Zedekiah. And he finally rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, and that's when the captivity happened. So right now we're about Jehoiakim is when the first captivity took place and when Daniel was taken. So that would be right about under the T in righteousness. So this is where it talks about this. And where did I put this verse up for us? So going back to that. So Babylon rebelled, just a little history of Babylon, rebelled against the Assyrian Empire about 626 B.C., took over Nineveh, which was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. In 612 B.C., they captured Nineveh and defeated Egypt in about 605 B.C. I'll give you kind of a little bit of time frame there. Just after that battle in Egypt is when Nebuchadnezzar, who was a general at that time, his father had passed away, and he became king of Babylon. And at that same time frame is when Nebuchadnezzar subdued Jerusalem and took Daniel and his three friends captive, plus many thousands others. He took quite a few during that first siege. Just a few other things. Talking about Ezekiel a little bit, Daniel was taken about 8 years ahead of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was in the second captivity. And he spent his whole life in Babylon until Cyrus took over. About 530 B.C. Is when Daniel, I already mentioned, penned this book. And I just pointed to this verse here to show when Cyrus took over. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel whose name was called Belshazzar, and the thing was true. But the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing. And understanding of the vision, I'm just pointing to this, that Cyrus was king of Persia. And that Daniel was still around during that time frame. So this is the third year of Cyrus. And we know that Cyrus was in power for about the last mention of him was I think it was Cyrus's eighth-year reign. And so I think that's about it. And we'll jump in some verses. Starting in Daniel 1:1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judea, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. In just a few other places we see this mentioned. In 2 Kings 24:1, in his days Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. That's where I got the information about that on that chart you see there. In And the Lord sent against him bands of Chaldeans and bands of the Syrians and bands of the Moabites and bands of the children of Ammon, and sent them against Judea to destroy it, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by his servant the prophets. Another place we see it mentioned is over in 2 Chronicles 36, 5 and 6. Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, his God. You notice my little chart there. Saw him going into sin, and that's this verse confirms that. And against him came up Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and bound him in fetters to carry him to Babylon. So that's about the time that Jehoiachin took over. I guess the Josiah's and his wife had trouble coming up with names. Roughly similar. Another place over in Jeremiah 25:1. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the people of Judea in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judea, that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. So we got it pretty well established exactly when Nebuchadnezzar took over and who was in power in Judea. We're in Daniel 1:2. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judea, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of God, of his God. You notice the little g on the God there. So that would be one of the pagan gods of Babylon. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. I will give Nebuchadnezzar one thing, though, on this, is that he didn't disrespect those vessels. He did bring them, and he kind of had, like, I read one history book that said that he kind of, like, had a museum of all his conquests, and he would display some of this stuff for people to see. But he didn't disrespect it, and we'll get into that way later in Daniel about somebody who does disrespect it. And the king spake unto Asaphanez, the master of his eunuchs, that he should begin certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. Now, talking about king's seed, a few verses that touch on this. Over in 2 Kings 20:16. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. Another confirmation that of this information we're seeing in Daniel. And of the sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of king of Babylon. Here we see confirmation that this, in 2 Kings, of this taking place. Also over in Isaiah 39:7. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. So these are all confirmations of prophecies of this actually happening. So I wonder if, Daniel kind of got the feeling that he was fulfilling prophecy a little bit of the writings of Isaiah. Okay, back over to Daniel 1:4. Children in whom was no blemish, this is the requirements of Nebuchadnezzar had put on his chief of the eunuchs. Children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge, and understanding science, and such as his ability in them to stand in the king's palace, whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So Daniel, being a teenager, was going to learn a new language also. I'm sure he knew Hebrew, and he's going to learn Chaldean, and he even wrote in Aramaic. So it's interesting that he was pretty intelligent. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judea, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And we're going to see that the eunuch renames three of these men, and we know them quite well, I think, through our Sunday school classes as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave Daniel the name of Belshazzar. We don't see that name used as much in Daniel as the name Daniel occasionally. So they realized that that was pretty common when a king would take over another country in that time frame, that he'd rename them to get them away from the idea of wanting to go back to their roots. So it would give them the idea that they weren't, to make them more subject to the new place they were at. I was try to brainwash them a little bit. I hear the Assyrians were really good at that. They would actually, when they captured the northern kingdom, as a matter of fact, and that's why it's so hard to find a really good track of what happened to the Jews, is that the Assyrians were very good at taking people when they captured them and spread them out all over their kingdom, so that there was nobody could talk to each other. It's actually a technique even used today in the military. When we capture people, we try to separate them so that they don't get to talk to each other and make plans. So, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now just a few verses on this. Is it over in Leviticus? It talks about the requirements of the Jewish boy to maintain a certain diet. And I'm just going to do the whole book of Leviticus is really centered on this, but I'm just going to pick a few verses that kind of point to this. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You should therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the beast and of the fowl and every living creature that moveth in the waters and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth. To make a difference between the unclean and the clean and between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. So these are it goes on to explain all the different rules. There's quite a few. And I won't get into the details. But basically, this is the laws that Daniel was trying to avoid. Typically, in a pagan culture like Babylon, a lot of the meats were actually sacrificed in front of idols, and that would be that was one of the rules. That a couple of verses on this over in 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about it. But I say that these things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye shall have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. So this is kind of the idea behind what Daniel was trying to avoid. I got to give him a lot of credit, too, as a teenager. He's in a foreign land. He's been captured. Doesn't know the language very well yet. He's just learning it. And here he is. He's putting up a situation where that he's going to actually request. I'm sure he did it very politely in hopes that the eunuch would follow him. But he does a little test, and going to Daniel 1:9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. So God put his hand upon the eunuch, the prince of the eunuchs, and said that to kindly allow him to allow Daniel to have his way in this. And I love the little test they do. Just a few verses that support that over in Genesis. Thirty-nine twenty-one. But the Lord was with Joseph. I just wanted to show you some other examples of people that found favor because the Lord allowed them to be in a foreign land. And Joseph was probably one of the best examples. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Kind of a parallel verse in a way. I consider prophecy as pattern too. I think that you can find patterns all over the Bible when it comes to certain things. And that kind of, to me, confirms that God's hand is in all parts of the Bible. Also in Acts 7:10. And delivered him out of all of his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his houses. This is again talking about Joseph, and how through his willingness to obey God that he became well favored in the sight of Pharaoh. So sometimes putting up a respectful position when it comes to what you believe, and that can be even more so today, that can be sometimes looked at as strength rather than weakness. So sometimes giving in can be looked a little bit like weakness. Over in Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So back to Daniel, verse 10. So back to they're going to do a little test here. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed you meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse like than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. It was well known, Nebuchadnezzar was pretty evil. And there was nothing for him to chop somebody's head off he didn't like. So the eunuch was a little concerned of Daniel's putting up a little bit of a fuss. And then said Daniel to Melchizedek, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, and I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and thy countenance of thy children. Now, I might mention that pulse is basically a vegetable diet. So they basically were going to become vegetarians. The countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. So the little test worked, and so Daniel was going to be able to keep to his Jewish rights and not upset the eunuch. But I think it also basically set him up for being able to really prove himself to the king. Talking about being in God's will, a nice verse over in Exodus 23:25 speaks to this. Ye shall serve the Lord your God, he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Moving on, and Pastor, I'm sorry, I think I told you verse 11. I was verse 17 I did up till today. It looks like we're still on time. Thus Melchizedek took away the portion of their meat and their wine, and they should drink, and gave them pulse. And as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So I'm going to stop there. I just got a couple of verses that supports this. And I just wanted to kind of make a parallel with this with Solomon a little bit when it comes to wisdom. Behold, I have done accordingly to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. This is talking about Solomon. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. So I was talking about that God was going to give, I'm just doing a parallel to Solomon, that God provides wisdom to those that are following his will is what I'm trying to basically drive at. And that's what Daniel was also being given. So he shined and was able to shine in front of King Nebuchadnezzar because of what God gave him and the tools he needed to survive in that environment. Over in 2 Chronicles 1:12, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. So again, and then Jesus also talks about wisdom and knowledge over in Luke, I thought I'd point to, Luke 21:15. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. I think that's a parallel to Daniel also. Also Moses, same thing over in Acts 7:22. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Just a few parallels there. And so we'll stop there for today. We'll stop there for today and say a prayer.
Let me say something real quick, Brother Dane. As you were talking about there, just something that really came to my mind when you were talking about where the king had given them new names. If you think about a lot of what's going on today, first of all, you see an ungodly king giving them a new identity. And you realize that's what the world's doing a lot today, is trying to get us to forget about our identity. You know, you think about our history as Americans and what we've been blessed with, the heritage, the patriotism, and things that we've had. That's under attack today. That's not really what they meant, and all this kind of stuff that you hear. We're struggling in the world today with gender identity. Listen, God created me to be a man. I'm not interested in being anything else. God created my wife to be a lady. She's not interested in being anything else. And then, you know, also the most important thing is our identity in Christ. And they're trying to get us to forget those things. And so when you were talking about that, Dana, that really came to my mind. An ungodly king was trying to erase their history and trying to erase our identity. And that's exactly what's going on in the world today. And so never forget, folks, first of all, who God made you to be. You are who God made you, and don't be ashamed of that. We're blessed with our heritage. We're blessed with the history that we've had in this great country. And then, of course, we're blessed ultimately with our identity in Christ. So thankful for that, Brother Dane. That really gets you to think about a lot of things. I appreciate that. And I think that you'll really get into the Word, as you're going through the Word, as you studies here, God will really help you to learn from that. So thank you, Brother Dane. Appreciate that introduction in history and in the book of Daniel. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and grace. Thank you for this hour of Sunday school. Thank you for Brother Dane, Lord, with the work that's been prepared. And God, the learning that we've already achieved, and Lord, even what you've already spoken in our hearts through that lesson. Father, I pray for the service already. Lord, we thank you and excited about what you have in store for us today. We just look forward to it in Jesus' name. Amen. Men, don't forget, at 10 minutes till, high school prayer time.